Thank you both. It is 8:08. Quickly to Ed Chervenak, professor of political science at my alma mater, UNO, to talk about Mayor Cantrell and the setbacks. Latest story breaking, you just heard about it. The use of the Pontalba apartment on Jackson Square. Question, group request, probe. Metropolitan Crime Commission says that it has, cooperating witnesses. And they want the city council to investigate the mayor's use of that city-owned apartment on Jackson Square. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I'm fine, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm great. I hope people don't misinterpret this as me taking up for the mayor in any way, but I'm just talking about the politics of this, the perception of this. It happened with Donald Trump. Now people are going to get mad because I'm comparing LaToya to Donald Trump. I'm not. However, they do have a lot in common in terms of the way they act politically. At what point does this turn around and it appears to be piling on the mayor? And that look, and let me, again, Ed, if I might, give the example of if every day when I come to work, I hit Jordan in the head with a hammer, and Jordan goes to HR and says, Tommy's hit me in the head with a hammer, and I continue to do it and no action is taken. Well, eventually to HR, it becomes, here's that damn Jordan complaining again, when in fact, the fault is mine. You understand what I'm trying to say, right?
Yes. Yes, I understand that, you know, certainly what we have here is a mayor who feels entitled to use public assets for her personal use. And I don't think it's piling on. I think it's that's an investigation worth looking into because there are policies out there and principles that city property is for work-related purposes only, not for one's personal benefit, and it also kind of fuels this perception that the mayor is out of touch, you know, that she's tone deaf, that she's entitled, and it's more self-inflicted wounds than anything else.
And to be clear, I totally agree with that, but I'm just wondering, is there a point at which the mayor can somehow, I guess at some point, does the more bad you do help you in that, then maybe people that favor you then would say, oh, wait a minute, maybe it's piling on, when in fact she continues to do things that are not acceptable?
Yeah, there might be some supporters out there who feel that this is, you know, piling on the mayor, that they're out to get her. And then, of course, their support becomes even more hardened. And as you mentioned, we see this with Donald Trump supporters. The more they view him under attack, the greater their support for him is.
And again, to be clear, I'm not taking up for Mayor Cantrell. I'm just talking about the politics and the perception of this. And as a lot of you know, perception is reality. But perhaps not in this case, not yet. There's a lot there. We'll continue the conversation when we come back with Ed Chervenak, professor of political science at my alma mater at UNO, about the latest on Mayor Cantrell. One question I have, you know, is, and you can answer when we come back, I think Maya Angelou said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And we know who the mayor is, so I just wonder what happens from here, because something else I would remind people is she just sworn in September, in January, rather, of this year. So if you think you're going to ride it out, it's going to be a long ride. Tommy Tucker back in a flash. You got comments, questions, 504-260-1870, back in a flash, here on WWL. 8:15, 8:16, call and talk to Ed Chervenak, professor of political science at UNO, about the mayor's latest troubles involving the apartment and the Pontalba apartments. I'm getting a lot of text here, and if it's not in your wheelhouse, I fully understand that because you agreed to come on before this story broke. But people are asking, did Mitch Landrieu use this apartment? Why does the city own the apartment? Or is LaToya being singled out? Why didn't Landrieu get in trouble for this? Do you know much about this apartment in question?
I don't know if Mitch Landrieu used the apartment or if previous mayors have used the apartment for personal uses. But the apartment is basically city-owned so that you basically can billet people from out-of-town dignitaries who come to the city. It's also used for ceremonial purposes. It could be used for meetings. And so that's the intended use. It's supposed to be used, you know, for public use. But in terms of how previous mayors have used it, you have to ask them.
I don't understand, I guess, why I could see, like, in New York, if the mayor has a residence, well, no, you have to live in New York anyway. Let's check that. Let's keep moving. So when it comes to the poll that we saw in the summer, I think our approval rating had plummeted. does everything like this, do you know if it's going to make it go down, or does she have some kind of big floor of supporters baked in, which brings us to the recall petition?
Right. I'm sure that there's a base of supporters out there for the mayor. Whether, you know, she's hit that floor or not, we won't know until we get the next poll comes out. But, this is just something that feeds in people's perceptions that she operates under the principle, the rules for thee, but not for me. And it also provides ammunition for the recall folks, because they can point to another controversy by the mayor and basically claim, look, she feels she's not accountable to anyone anymore. She's term limited. She won't face the voters anymore. And the only way to hold her accountable is to sign that recall petition.
Do you think there will be a tipping point with the recall where maybe this is it, or where maybe people that are on the fence will say, by God, that's enough, I'm going to do it, I'm going to sign it?
It's certainly possible. We won't know until, you know, they release the numbers of signatures that they've collected, and, you know, whether or, you know, particular event generated more signatures. So we have to wait for the evidence from the recall people.
One thing that kind of jumped out at me is that she said she flew first class because she was concerned for her safety, but yet the video I saw shows her walking up and down the street. I don't know if there are people watching her from a distance or whatever, but if you support Mayor Cantrell, does any of that matter to you, or is it, you know what, that's my lady and I'm sticking with her no matter what, even though there have been numerous instances of doublespeak and lies and half-truths and just plain old entitlement. Like I said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. I don't know. Is there anything you think that will rock the most hardened LaToya Cantrell supporter, or would it have by now?
You know, I had the same thought when I watched the video, that she was, you know, walking down the street, looked like she was alone, and kind of thought, well, you know, that's kind of a disconnect from the reason she said she wanted to fly.
So you don't feel safe on an airline, but walking the streets of New Orleans, the murder capital of the United States, you're fine. That would seem like there's some disconnect there, right?
Yes. I thought the same thing. But, you know, just like there's this hardcore support for Donald Trump, he's basically about 30% of the American public. That's probably a hardcore support for the mayor as well, that, you know, they may not like what she's doing, but they don't want to see her recalled from office. You know, let's just basically give her time, and we'll just have to ride it out for the next 3 years.
Is the black woman theme that she's the card she's trying to play making any headway? Because there's a black woman as leading the recall effort, and do those kind of neutralize each other?
That's a great question. I don't know if it neutralizes each other, but the mayor's, you know, in a prominent position. You know, she's the mayor, and that goes, you know, all the power that goes with it. You know, compared to the young lady who's running the recall effort. You know, so they're not of equal stature because of the mayor's more powerful position.
I would take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about the council, and they're challenging her. How much power do they have to, I guess, stymie her if they choose to? And I think another important question in all of this, the Norman White's going to be on with us next half hour, CFO for the city of New Orleans. The mayor's office and Department of Finance is offering a late fee forgiveness or amnesty program for residents to take advantage of from October 1st until December 31st. And I think that's going to be a hard sell, and I'll ask him this when they call in. When the mayor's not paying what she owes to the city, where is the incentive for taxpayers to come forward? I guess the difference is the mayor won't be booted. 8:21, time for traffic now on WWL. 8:26 and a half, Friday morning, September 30th. Tommy Tucker talking to Ed Shervinak, a professor of political science at UNO, my alma mater, I'm proud to say, about Mayor Cantrell and the latest revelations of her using a Pontalba apartment. Yeah, I know nothing about the Pontalba. Somebody texted in and said the state has a unit in the lower Pontalba, also on charters. Has anyone looked into the governor's use of it? Do you know anything about that?
There is a unit that is for state officials. and I don't know if the governor's used it, but certainly I think Billy Nungesser has used it, and there was some controversy about him using that unit as well. So there's one for the state, and it appears there's one for the city.
And, you know, one thing that bothers me is it seems like somehow in politics, well, they do it too has become an excuse. And I guess, you know, back in the day, you'd say, well, your mother would say, well, if he jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge too? But now apparently they're saying, well, he jumped off the bridge, so it's okay. Is that a new trend? A relatively new trend in politics or not?
Well, I don't think it's a relatively new trend, but, you know, it's kind of the what-if scenario. You know, that's the only way you can basically counter someone who's made charges against the candidate you support.
The oh yeah, but defense. The council challenges her repeatedly. We all know that. The MCC has sent this to the council and want them to take action on it. So, according to the city charter, when you get right down to it, what power does the council have in terms of either changing the mayor's behavior, punishing her for it, et cetera, et cetera?
What the city council has, and this comes from Helena Moreno and J.P. Morrell, is that the city council establishes the mayor's salary. And so they basically feel that if she won't pay the $30,000 back from the upgrade to first class on her flights, that then they would basically reduce her salary next year by $30,000. So that's one way, and a very powerful way, you know, to basically rein in the mayor if they, you know, they feel they're exceeding their authority.
And I tell you, I got the CFO of the city coming on to talk about an amnesty program. It would seem to me that's going to be a tough sell with the mayor. I mean, there's no doubt that she owes the city this money, is there, other than what she says?
You know, she certainly owes the money back for the upgrades on the flights. If she's using the Pontalba apartment for personal use, she owes for the rent, you know, and for the utilities as well. So, you know, if now they're going to basically force people to pay their taxes, they're going to come back and say, look, you know, if the mayor's not paying back the city its money, you know, you have to lead by example. If she's not doing it, why should we be forced to do it?
And again, the only difference is they're probably not going to boot the mayor, but they will boot you. But it's going to be a tough sell. And Norman White, get ready, because that's the first question I got for you. Ed, thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Fall professor, the fall semester rather at UNO, progressing nicely?
Yes, we are. We're progressing very nicely. Thank you.
None like passing a test and walking across that campus in the breeze. Thank you, sir. Ed Shervinak, professor of political science and my alma mater, UNO. When we come back, we will talk to Norman White, CFO for the city of New Orleans, about the amnesty program and how the city feels about, you know, telling people to pay what they owe for traffic tickets and parking tickets when the mayor has a pretty large amount of money she owes the city, and she says she's not going to pay them. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.